Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. I'm on a journey to heal and get better in all areas of life, and I want to do it with you. Welcome to Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, where we improve and heal all parts of our lives, most importantly, our health. Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, your life improvement series starts now. Hey friends, we are back for part two of my chat with Chris Carr. I hope you guys are ready to dive into the different areas of mourning that you may not have considered before, but now maybe you'll have a little bit more empathy for yourself and how you have been feeling. We're going to talk a lot about feelings in this episode. Enjoy. What is the name of your current book? I don't have it right here in front of me.
It's called I'm Not a Morning Person.
I'm Not a Morning Person. Will you tell us about it?
Yeah. So the subtitle is about braving loss and grief and the big, messy emotions that happen when life falls apart.
What inspired you to do that?
Yeah, it's a book that really is about, you know, how do we navigate those emotions? How do we navigate those ruptures in our life when the diagnosis comes, when a loved one dies, when we lose our jobs, when our partner cheats on us and we get divorced? Like all of those things, the miscarriage, those are ruptures. And I think that more often than not, I'll speak for myself, you know, a big exploration of this book is learning how to welcome some of those emotions home to ourselves. Because again, that's information, right? And so for me, grief was the one emotion I never wanted to go near because I thought that if I touched it, it would take me under. Mm. And what I realized as a result of this 4.5 year journey of this particular experience that's a through line in the book is that this was the master healer emotion. So I often say that the first part of my career was really about focusing on what you're eating and me and the people that I was teaching. And this time in my life right now is really about focusing what's eating me. And that's the holistic experience. But if there were certain hotspots that I wasn't willing to touch or go near, those were the places that I had to go through.
Some examples or an example.
Well, my dad, it really started, for example, with this sort of perfect storm is when it took place. And my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was coming up against my 20-year anniversary of living with cancer. We were in a global pandemic. I made very intentional choices to slow parts of my business down so that I could be more present with my family. So that affected our income and, you know, over a lot of things. So it was all happening at once. And it was that made me go, I got to survive this storm. I didn't realize that it actually could get stormier, but it is. And I was terrified of losing him. And all of that kicked up. He's my adopted father. So all of that kicked up this old trauma in me of deep abandonment and unresolved wounds from the past with my biological father. And my therapist at the time said something that was so profound and kind of the catalyst for writing this book. She said that when the grief train pulls into the station, it brings all the cars.
Uh-huh.
I was like, fuck. Carol, they're here. What do I do?
Yeah, we don't have enough parking space. Wow.
Yeah. So
you gotta weed through it.
Each chapter in the book is basically dedicated to a different emotion or an experience that you may go through when the rug gets pulled out from under you.
And it will. That's life. That's life. Did you have a modality that helped you with the parked cars?
It wasn't one thing. It was a lot of what we're even talking about. But I would say that because my father's diagnosis was very aggressive, and so I had to kind of dig deep in my own life to make sure that I was definitely practicing what I was preaching and doing my best to not only practice self-care and take care of myself, but going back to therapy was a huge thing for me because, as I said, it's so interconnected. You know, sometimes when you're hit strong by grief, your other griefs come up and you say, I thought I was over that. I've done so much work on that. Are you freaking kidding me? This is right now. And so that was very helpful for me for a period of time. Medication was helpful for me because I'm very, very familiar with anxiety. It's probably why I can't write about it well. But it was so much to handle all at once. And that was something that was useful for me. And I don't say that because, I suggest that everybody do that. It was just, I'm sharing what I needed at the time to sort of, create kind of a baseline of coping for myself in addition to, self-care practices that I was using. But it was also a time of great growth. Like you were saying earlier, I was actively a part of my father's experience of dying and that transition and those conversations and all of the deep healing places that we were able to go to and what I've gotten as a result of that process. I realized that the saying that grief and love go hand in hand, and the amount of love that I was able to experience, the amount of love that was brought into our relationship, the amount of fully alive living that I was reawakened to and awakened to at such a deeper level that it will never leave me, has shifted me beyond anything that I've ever done.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
I went through all of it with my mom too, so I'm sure we could talk about that forever. And I got to the place probably 6 months after she passed where the anxiety was so intense and I just couldn't handle. I was like, I've white knuckled this enough. I called the doctor. I said, I need medication. And that's when Dr. Joe came into my life. So I had the medication at CVS. I started Dr. Joe not knowing what was going to happen. And Chris, in 3 days of doing his formula course, his entry level course, the anxiety disappeared and never came back. Mm-hmm. I never needed to get the medication, but I knew that might be my only hope in those moments. And then when I went to his retreats, I heard a lot of people say the same thing, like in 3 days, my anxiety was gone. I'm like, oh, maybe there's something to this whole 3 days. But I get that. I wonder what did you learn in therapy that helped you through that?
You know, it's not one thing. I would say what I was saying earlier was just kind of learning to normalize these emotions. Right. So, what I didn't know or what I wasn't prepared for, there's a chapter in my book called Becoming Unbecoming. And I joke because my grandmother used to say, you know, certain behaviors were unbecoming for ladies. Crying, getting angry, like real basic emotions that are actually quite healthy. And
she just didn't know then.
She didn't. Bless her. Different time. But there were so many other emotions that were coming up for me that I write about in the book. And anger is one of them. Shame was another one. And not understanding how when big experiences happen in our lives, that the big messy emotions accompany them. And that our opportunity is to actually become more emotionally literate and to learn how to care for these emotions as if they're parts of ourselves, as if they are indicator emotions leading us to places in our psyche or our souls that are crying for healing.
Like what?
And that was a big shift. And that's really what I think the vast majority of the book is about. And all of that work opens us up to living fully.
Yeah. Do you have an example of that?
Of one of the emotions?
Yeah.
I would say grief. I mean, I'll just talk about grief first and foremost, because I knew at a certain point that there was nothing I could do to hold back the dam. And my father wanted to talk about dying, and I was so afraid to get it wrong. There's a chapter in the book called Awkward Times, Awkward People. And it's like, the things that people say or the things that we say because we're really uncomfortable and we don't know what to do. And we're a grief literate, messy emotions averse society, right? We don't come here with information or an owner's manual about this stuff. And he wanted to have some of those conversations, and I was so afraid to get it wrong. And I put them off and put them off, and, you know, I would run faster or do something else or control some other area of my life or try to control an area of his life, like what he was eating, what he was doing, and all this kind of stuff, as opposed to really sitting with and being with what was actually happening, what he actually wanted. And when I talked about this with my therapist, she said, why don't you start by talking about it, right? You're going to have like a little dress rehearsal here. It's a pre-show warm-up. And you can tell him how you feel and what might happen. And that's exactly what I did. I said, I'm scared. I'm probably going to get this wrong. I know I'm going to cry, but I love you. And if this is something that would be helpful, I want to show up for it. And he was so grateful because, as he shared with me, it's very lonely when the rest of the world is moving on and everybody's too afraid to talk about the fact that you're dying.
Yeah. Ugh. I remember when my mom, when my mom's tumor came back, and, you know, I was her quarterback, so I had to stay calm in the pocket, like Tom Brady, and I wasn't calm in the pocket this time. This time I was scared, and I was like, shit, and I had different therapists that were like, Maria, you can be a daughter, and I was like, okay, and they were like, you can go tell her you're scared. And so I left my therapy session on my Zoom and I went downstairs and I sat next to my mom and I just lost it. I'm like, I'm scared. I don't want you to freak out. I'll still take care of you and I'll still be cool and calm. But right now I need to let you know I'm scared. And she was like, it's okay. She's like, we don't know what's going to happen. And it was great because we got to have that conversation and I got to let it out because yeah. It's so hard to have to be the strong one all the time. And they do need to be able to talk about it. So when my mom, later in the journey, when we knew we were probably at the end, her tumor had grown so big, she had gotten COVID and we couldn't give her the chemo. So the tumor just grew out of control and we knew we were in our final stages. I would say to her, I'm like, Mom, you've been a miracle all this time. Who knows what the ending to the story is going to be? So we live in possibility, we live in hope, we do what we can, and then we leave the rest to God. And so we would have conversations because my friend is John Edward, the psychic, and he's like, you need more conversations with her. I'm like, I felt like I had them. He goes, no, more, more. And so he kept pushing me. And I'm really grateful because I even had to muster up the courage to apologize for the moments I was short, for the moments I was mean and stressed and just fearful and just, you know, I had them. I couldn't get past it. And every single day, I am so grateful that I had the balls to say it and I filmed it because I go back to it all the time. The second I'll have a little moment where I'm like, oh, why did I do that? I'm like, oh, she forgave me already. Mm-hmm. We're good. We're clean. And, you know, because you're not going to have a perfect journey with somebody taking care of them for 5 years. It's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not all sunshine and rainbows because people would message me and they're like, oh my God, you're so inspiring. Look at what you're doing with your mom. I'm like, no, there's dark sides too. Just know we're all going through it. It's not perfect. It's not, you know, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. I know you're seeing a lot of that, but you're not going to see the rougher times. But, you know, and mourning, happens years before they even die. My mom, I was mourning her years before she died because I was afraid. I didn't know what was coming. And so you start to mourn. I didn't know why I was so depressed. And my husband was like, Maria, you're mourning your mom because you're seeing the stages of her deterioration. Yes, she's alive. Yes, the tumor has shrunk, but she's deteriorating. You're seeing it. So that's a whole other part of mourning too.
100%. And I write about that, which is anticipatory grief, you know, which to me was something I didn't know about. I, again, knew very little about this topic. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot about a lot of topics when it comes to wellness. And yet this was a big hole in my education. And you said it so beautifully. It happens long before the loss actually happens. But oftentimes we, as the people going through it, and wonder what's wrong with us. And for me, I would also go to this place of, am I going to do some dark manifesting? Like if I start to think about his death and I might have been in the room with him at that time, we might have been in the full conversation and I'm thinking there's going to be a time when he's not here having this conversation with me. Am I bringing this on? You know, it's like all the kind of, new age ideas that can go south when we're not aware of the normal phases of the grieving process.
Yeah. Overthinking. It's hard.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
Or thinking we're doing it wrong and feeling guilty about it. You know, I felt guilty that I was experiencing grief while he was still alive.
Mm-hmm. I can feel that for sure. Yeah. It's a really hard journey. You know, when people would lose their dogs because we had gone through that, I would instantly reach out and say, okay, here's what you're going to feel. Just so you know, it's going to feel like a Mack truck is rolling over your chest incessantly and ruthlessly. And then you're going to need a break. And then the Mack truck's going to come back. And then you're going to go to dinner and you're going to be fine. And then you're going to come back. And the Mack, like I knew with animals, and we had gone through other losses, but your parents is a whole other level. And so I don't think you can really be prepared for that. But knowing about anticipatory grief, I like your coining of it, is helpful to understand where you're at in all of it. And just kind of being aware of it.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to go back on, because my husband is pointing it out and he loves this topic, but he also knows it's something that we as women really need to know more about, was shame and guilt. And I'd love to hear kind of how you've moved through those emotions in reference to everything, whether it's your own health, how well you're doing in your health journey, how well you're doing in your life journey as a woman.
I'm coming back to the idea that all of our emotions are information, right? And so when those things come up for us, I love Brené Brown's definition of shame and guilt, which is guilt saying I did something wrong, shame saying I am wrong. The very nature of me, the essence of me is wrong, right? And so when those emotions come up, what are underneath them? And how can I bring compassion to myself in those moments? Because sure, there's going to be times where we feel them 100%. We can't amputate any of our emotions and expect to be whole. Ooh. I have tried. It does not work. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But can we become more aware of them in the moment? And can we bring more compassion to ourselves through lots of different things? One of the things that will help me is changing my focus, right? How do I change this channel? Can I go out and do a workout? Can I go for a walk? Can I talk to somebody? Can I call my therapist? Can I sit and journal? Can I be curious more than anything? Because that curiosity will oftentimes lead breadcrumbs back to what's actually under the surface and what's really going on, right? Maybe what is really going on in that moment is I'm so angry with myself that I was impatient with my parent, or that I wasn't available or open at the time. And somehow I've turned that anger in on myself, and I have decided that I am actually fundamentally flawed, because in that moment, I didn't have the bandwidth mentally or emotionally. Mm. And to what you are saying is then being a good parent to ourselves, finding ways to self-soothe, finding ways to reparent ourselves, finding ways to let ourselves off the hook, because staying and ruminating in those emotions does us no good. And it really harms our bodies in the long run.
Yeah. I like changing the channel.
Yeah. Sometimes we need to, because we're like dogs in brain rot. You know, you're licking a hot spot. There's something wrong with me. There's something flawed with me. There's something I did. I'm so bad. Blah, 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 blah. We need to change the channel in those moments, because we are out of alignment with the truth of who we are.
Yeah. I remember going to a Tony Robbins seminar, and he talked about, you need to find ways to achieve joy and happiness that don't cost anything. So they're quick go-to things. So I remember writing it down and putting it on my fridge, where it's like, okay, happiness to me is smelling the roses. It's going for a hike. It's, you know, being in nature. So I knew when I needed to change my channel that I could do really quickly. I could change the channel and watch something I really loved by going and doing these things. And it helped me train that and create that muscle. So I have this little hike in my neighborhood where all the old homes have original rose bushes that actually smell, because, you know, roses don't smell anymore. And I am the happiest person in the world when I get to go inhale my neighbor's roses. And so wonderful. You have to be able to realize that you can change the channel. You don't have to sit in those emotions. You don't have to, you know, be brought down. You know, a lot of times something comes in and then we catastrophize and we go on these horrible other paths. And, you know, changing the channel is so important. I like that terminology. I always say shift, and I always just say, if something comes in and it's negative and I don't like it, I'm like, no, I don't want that. What do I want? And then I start dreaming, and I'm like, oh, I want this and I want that. And I do that all day. I'm in the car driving. What do I want? I literally am just trying to stay in what do I want mode, rather than, you know, leaving the space free for all the shit to come in, because I'll start catastrophizing. I'll start thinking all the worst things all the time. Yep. Bad thoughts come in all the time.
Yeah. And what you're talking about is really like a mental fitness routine.
Yeah, it really is. But I learned that with Dr. Joe. I learned that we're in control of our thoughts, or we can be more in control of our thoughts. Stuff's going to come no matter what, but we can redirect and we have agency. But I didn't know that before. Mm. And it's really been helpful. And I think it adds to your joy, because you can think about the things that are going to make you feel good. And, you know, he talks about thoughts having so much power. And if you think your thoughts can make you sick, well, they can make you well too. So I want my thoughts to make me well. I've had enough of the thoughts making me sick.
Yeah. It's awesome.
What are you doing now in your daily practice for you, Chris, every day? What are your kind of like routines? Do you have some routine that shifts? Do you have something you do every day that's non-negotiable?
I do. You know, this is a very, very busy season for me because I'm in a book launch. So I look for things that are simple to do, that don't take a lot of time, that I can get done and that I can stick to. And so there's a couple of very basic things, because I know that when I'm fueling my joy, that I bring more goodness into my life, right? And I know in times when we're called to work harder for whatever reason, whatever that season is, I'm thrilled to be doing the work that I'm doing right now, but I'm going to be putting in more hours. And so I have to be thoughtful about, first and foremost, my energy. Mm-hmm. And so for me, everything comes down to my energy and how I'm feeling and how I'm helping strengthen it. And so I have a huge smoothie. It's probably about 24 ounces every single morning without fail. That is my breakfast. It starts my day in a very fiber-fueled, wonderful, nutritious way. I will probably do either a little journal session, not long. We're talking like 10 minutes, or a meditation, or read some inspirational text, something like that, that puts me in the pocket and reminds me of the bigger reason why I'm here in the first place. I'll just back up that I, without fail, every single day, I start my day with a thank you. And it's usually thanking my body for another opportunity and another day to be here. And at the end of the day, it might have been a shit day. I could be complaining to my husband and, you know, wanting to pile drive wine. But the day starts with thank you, body.
Yeah.
Right? I can't guarantee how it's going to end, but I know how it's going to start. But honestly, when I do these things, the day does tend to unfold in grace-filled ways. And I move. That's probably the secret to it, is like, when we want more energy, we have to actually spend it. And so I make sure that I move every single day. It doesn't have to be a very intense workout or something like that. It could be a walk at the end of the day. That's just a way for me to mentally unwind. But that's kind of like a non-negotiable for me.
I love it. Is there anything that you feel like you've done? Like, I know someone's listening to this and like, what do you think that worked to keep everything at bay? Is it a combination of a lot of things? Did you do lymphatic stuff? Like, do you do lymphatic stuff, by the way?
Yeah. Well, I jump on my trampoline, you know, there's a lot of different things. I would say, first of all, I don't credit myself. I always say that if it's the nature of my disease or the nature of my choices, I'm okay either way. But I do know that the overall diet and lifestyle philosophy that I focus on is about creating an anti-inflammatory lifestyle path. So going back to those five pillars, and looking at your energy as if it is the greatest resource that you have. And it's not just your physical energy, it's your psychic energy and your mental energy. And so there isn't a magic combination and there isn't a magic pill. There isn't a fad. There isn't a latest trend. You know, I was just watching the Blue Zones series on Netflix, which is so great because it's kind of what I've been practicing and teaching for 20 years. And what I've been teaching is been the foundation of like health and well-being well long before I even knew anything about it. You know, these are practices that people have been doing for I don't even know how long. And it's all so simple. And I think that's the biggest message that I would want to share with somebody is, are you drinking water? Are you moving your body? Are you eating your fruits and vegetables? Are you connecting with friends and family or community in a way that helps you feel connected and that keeps you from feeling isolated and lonely? Are you prioritizing your joy? You know, these are very, very simple things, but they strengthen our immunity and they strengthen our hunger for life.
Mm, well put. How do you do the psychic and mental energy thing? I haven't heard someone talk about protecting their psychic energy.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's really about what I allow in. And so I feel very connected to my intuition. I feel very connected to the signs and synchronicity and to, you know, energy around me. And so I have to be thoughtful about what I take in because first and foremost, I'm very empathetic. So I can start to feel the weight of the world is on my shoulders. Meanwhile, I'm not responsible for that specific story that I just read about, but I will think I'm responsible and that I have to figure it out for this person, right? And so just being mindful about what I let in, because it whether we're aware of it or not, it can start to erode our joy and erode our sense of freedom and our sense of well-being. You know what I mean? Like, these things impact us. I think we're more sensitive than we think we are. It doesn't mean that we should be in news bubbles. It just means that we need to be thoughtful about how much we take in and when we take it in.
Yeah, I agree.
You know.
Yeah, I definitely know. I've taken a news break for many, many years. Outside of an occasional Twitter feed, you know, let's make sure we know the major shit that's happening so we're not totally, you know, out of it.
Yeah.
But the fear-mongering local news where it's like, this person was shot in this city, and it's just too much. But I lost my train of thought now. What I was going to say is, this was amazing. At some point, I would love to have you come back and really focus on those five pillars with our audience.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And what you have found to be successful in people's healing journeys within those five pillars. I think that would be really great.
That would be a pleasure.
So thank you. But for now, yeah, we're going to plug the book right after this in the close. But thank you. This was amazing. And your journey is amazing. And, I'm so grateful for your example of how to just kind of live and thrive despite, and not just being so glued to a diagnosis and thinking the worst, because I think that's just the easiest thing, because that's what we're taught. We're taught, here a diagnosis, this is how we're supposed to react. Everyone's supposed to cry. And, you know, by the way, we do that. It's just, There's also a way to actually move out of that and move forward. And I think that's really important.
Thank you. I appreciate all the work that you're doing and the example that you're setting too, and really all the personal work that you're doing, because it's really beautiful and it's truly revolutionary. And I think it is what it's all about. That's what healing is about, what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I think we're going to get to meet in Connecticut at some point. That would be fun.
I would love that.
Our house flooded last December. And between the cancer and the baby and all of that, we're just starting the renovation now. So we won't be there probably for a good 6 months. But when we are there, we should connect.
Let's do that. You know, Marie Forleo is my closest sister.
Stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been besties for probably about 15 years. And yeah, yeah, yeah. So she, and you know, even before I got the chance to meet you, she's always just said such beautiful things about you. So I know we're going to be in each other's orbits.
Oh, for sure. Are you friends with Gabby as well?
Yeah, dear, dear friend.
So funny. So when Gabby came and sat on the couch, she goes, "You and I were going to be best friends." Like, instantly, I'm like, okay. And so when I found out she was in Connecticut, I go, we definitely are going to be besties. So when I got to Connecticut the next time, it was just at like Thanksgiving break. My husband and I drove out, I think it was like 2 hours. And she's like, wow, you really are committed. I go, well, if we don't do it, we're never going to do it. Like, we just got to go. So when we're back there, we will connect and it'll be fun.
We'll all get together. That would be so fun.
Well, let us know how else we can be helpful. We'll social out the book and all of that. So if there's anything else that we can do, let us know.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Well, have a great day and we'll talk soon. Okay. Well, that brings us to the close of a really good two-parter with Chris Carr. I'm going to go to Kevin Undergaro on the couch. He has a lot of thoughts.
Well, I'm just super impressed by her and her story. I think there's a lot of great takeaway. Just a lot of stuff, just from the beginning.
Watch and live. Her doctor saying, watch and live.
Well, back up. He said, with the cancer, let's watch, sit back and watch and let cancer make the first move. And she was like, well, then what do I do? You go watch and live your life.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, Maria, what really impressed me was the opening was your sentiment, BCO of your own health. Yeah, she said the first part of her journey is to be your own medical advocate.
Yeah.
See your health as a business, okay? And then, and this is a real tough one that I don't know anyone who's ever willing to do, or very rarely, replace people if they are not performing, just like in a business.
Yeah.
So when you have healthcare practitioners who are not performing, they're not listening to you. They're disregarding you. Whatever the case is, they're not making the time. You replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was great. And I think also the fact she said you may not live in an area that has the right people.
Yeah.
Be ready to travel.
That's what I've told people too.
Yeah. So
you
I thought
have
that was
to go to the best, guys. I know it's not easy, but you have to know that your health is that fragile. You cannot have a hacker come in and do this. You've got to have the best.
Well, she said you need a collaborator.
Yeah. I said collaborator too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You both said collaborator.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just messing with you. But also, just kind of getting past even just the perfectionism of needing to get a perfect scan, I fully identify with. And I know a lot of people who are listening are going to as well. You know, we're on these health journeys, and sometimes I get disappointed that things aren't happening faster as well. Cause I'm like, God, I'm doing all the right things. And why am I not seeing faster results? Well, it's all good stuff to do. It's 100% fact that it's good to have a good circadian rhythm. It's good to eat whole foods, clean, you know, foods. It's 100% fact to make sure you're drinking your water.
What she said, lower the bar.
So doing all these things isn't in vain. You're doing them for your future health. And the stuff, the past decisions and choices that have accumulated to this maybe disease in this moment might take longer to get past. So it really is having empathy for ourselves and saying, well, this is how I want to live this next chapter of my life. I'm not going to put markers or benchmarks on, okay, I'll only keep doing it and putting in the work if I see these visible results right away. And also, we don't need to look at our health like, oh, I can't have all these other things and still be healthy. I consider myself a very healthy, vibrant person. If you look under the hood, or if you go into my chart at the doctor office, which young residents go in and they think that they're dealing with some really different person, and they look at me and then they leave the room and they go talk to my doctor. And then he tells me later that they were like, this can't be her. So I am a very vibrant, healthy person, despite what my medical records would say. And I think it's because I am making better choices and I'm choosing to watch and live.
Well, also, you know, she said what she could control, she's going to control, but knowing she can't control everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she was saying is, you know you're going to have setbacks.
Yes.
So then if you know you're going to have setbacks,
you're ready.
And then she said she lowers the bar. So it's not, I have to get this perfect diagnosis. No. Mm-hmm. Like, think about her life. To always go and be like, yeah, the 20 plus tumors are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to get right with, okay, you know, so I'm just going to do my best every day, know that there's going to be setbacks and I have to manage them. And the other thing she said is, you know, she started learning how to manage her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about on the show all the time how deeply the emotions are attached to what's going on. And with that awareness, so I thought that was super impressive. You talked about being okay with a B plus rather than always needing the A.
Yeah, that's because you always say that to me.
Something has to give or your body will give.
Yeah.
It's just physics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Friends, really listen to that part. Go back and rewind. We'll put a clip out on Instagram because what she was saying leading up to it really is just so important. And I think why I started this fall season talking about unwinding and let's see what we can take off of our plate. Your body and your mind can only do so much. I'm not trying to limit us because I do believe that we can do anything we put our mind to. But if you are not feeling you're most energetic and you're exhausted or something's hurting or whatever, you can't just shush your body and you can't shush your mind. And I did so much of that and it led me to very specific places that I think you all know. Now we're making lemonade. Here we are on Heal Squad. But I shushed my body forever because I thought it was about everything else. And it really was about my health. And it should have been. And now it is. So, for example, in the middle of the interview with Chris, I said, Chris, I have to take a break. I'm going to do something that I never used to really do, but I have to use the restroom and I'm not going to sit here and hold it and suffer. You have to make loving choices. That's why at night I take stock of the day. What did I do that was loving to myself and what did I do that wasn't? The wasn't part reminds me that I have to be better about those things. And then what I did reminds me, oh, I actually took an action, like saying I need to stop and go use the restroom. Stopping when the kettle's running hot and you just are like, I just need 5 minutes. I'm just going to go walk outside. You have to start doing things that are loving to yourself. And that's why I think taking something off your calendar, meaning like take something off your plate that you have added on from now until December, till the end of this year, take something off. Leave some space for something to come into your life. When we fill our schedule so much, we have no space for our mental health, because when you leave a little bit of space, you can have some freedom with your mind, with your body, with your soul. Things flow in, things flow out. When you're so regimented and full, you can't. I remember Lori Bregman, the doula that has helped us throughout the year. She's a good friend of mine. We sat down while I was working at E! And we took stock of my life and my career. And she looked at it and we wrote it all down. She goes, there's no room for a baby here. And she was so right. There was no room for a baby. How is a baby going to flow into my life? I had zero time. I made zero time. And look, she flowed in at the right time. And she had plenty of space to come in. So whether it's a baby or something you want to do in your career, or you want your health in a better place, take the action of giving that space. And then I loved how she went and took cooking classes. You know, a lot of us, we just kind of throw our hands up in the air. They're like, that's not my thing, whether it's finances or whatever. But sometimes you need to make it somewhat of your thing. Get the basics down. Understand.
I think it was more than that too, Maria. I think it was her way of taking the control she could control, number one. Number two, probably was occupational therapy to mm-hmm. be doing that.
Yeah.
And it's an act of self-love.
Yes.
Like, I'm making this time for myself.
Boo, you were going to take a cooking class, you said, so you could cook for Athena. When are you going to do it?
I'm probably going to now.
Aww.
Here's something interesting too.
Okay.
I hope I didn't lose it. We can't amputate any of our emotions and expect to be whole.
Yeah.
So in other words, instead of just, you know, cutting out
anger.
Yeah. You know, you have to process it. And that's where I really appreciated. She was talking about, you know, getting to the root causes, which her book covers, of why we have certain emotions. And then she quoted Dr. Gabor Mate, who we've had on the show. Mm-hmm. Who said that control is a trauma response.
Yeah.
And she was very, it seems sound like she was very controlling
yeah.
going into this. And I
forgot that he said that, because obviously I've gone through a lot of traumas and
yeah.
that's why I was very controlling.
Yes. It's a trauma response.
I don't know who hasn't gone through any trauma, but.
Right. Well, we all deal with it in different yeah. ways. And but anyway, when she started getting to the root of that, rather than amputating that emotion and expecting herself to be whole, that was one of the things that she was able to dig at that I thought was really cool. And I think her journey began with, you know, putting better food into her body. But she said, you know, it started with what she was eating. And then part two of it was...
what was eating her.
Yes.
Oh, so good. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this and this conversation. Share with us below in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to this, if you have a second, just go into the summary, click on the link for the Apple Podcast review and share with us. I hope you guys are going to take some of this into your lives and find a way to unwind and yeah. and love yourself a little bit more. And we're just grateful to be on this journey with you. Thank you for being part of the Heal Squad. We love you. Be nice people, make good choices, and be present.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.
Hey, Heal Squad, we have been on quite the journey together, and we're hearing from so many of you just how much this show is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. We love, love, love it, and we just ask that you don't keep it to yourself. Spread the message and share the show or your favorite episode with your friends. And if you want to help us even more, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow us on Instagram at Heal Squad. You can also DM us anytime because we love connecting with you. And finally, you can also join us on Patreon for our monthly live heal events with world-class healers and ad-free episodes exclusive only to Patreon and our Super Heal Squad for as little as $10 a month. So go to patreon.com/healsquad to join. Getting better isn't easy, friends, but as I say all the time, it's a whole lot easier if we can do it together. We love you all so much, and we love doing this thing called life with you.